who has a song you'd like to start with? At our house, we like to sing. This morning, we'll just sing together for maybe 15 minutes or so. One of us likes to sing. We all like to sing in the car, and we all like to sing with our Bible reading. One of us likes to sing in the grocery store. Sometimes they sing good songs, too, like, "Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See." I've heard that one in the grocery store before. So let's enjoy some good songs together. And let's start with anyone on the hymn sheet that you'd like. What number would you like?
40.
Number 40, he said. Let's sing together number 40.
Jesus loves me.
You to do something that's very hard. It's hard when you're young, and it's hard when you're old. But I watched, I watched because I realized what was going through my own head. I was thinking ahead to the next few things, and I was trying to remember one or two things, and I all of a sudden realized we're singing a wonderful song here, and I'm forgetting about what I'm singing. And I looked around, and I saw some looking around.
And all kinds of, I think some people weren't thinking about what they were singing to. And that's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to focus and think hard. So we're going to do one thing. Since you don't need your song sheets for this part, we're going to sing that chorus over again. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing we usually do when we pray, so that we can think about who we're talking to. For just a little bit of time, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes with me, and we're going to sing the chorus of Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And let's think about what we're singing. Okay, somebody maybe could start it for us.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Know who was speaking, you weren't focusing. Okay? But that was good, isn't it? It's a wonderful message that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Okay, who has another one that you'd like to sing this morning? Okay.
44.
You hear that? That's number 44. And let's sing the first and last verses, so a few more get chances to give out hymns this morning.
That's where a gypsy boy lay.
Some more. Who else has a song you'd like to sing? Okay.
Number 15.
Okay. Let's shorten that one down a little bit too, so we can get some more in. How about the first and the third verses?
Oh,
time for just one or two more for now at least. Okay.
Number five.
Okay. Sing the first and the last on that one, too.
Oh, happy day, that makes my joy, someday my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice, and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He loved me now to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now as my love divided heart fixed on this blessed center rest, nor ever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He loved me now to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
It's a good place to pause, and let's talk to the Lord Jesus and ask for His help. Our dear Lord Jesus, we just give thanks for that opportunity to sing about the wonder of washing our sins away. Just ask that it would be true for each and every one in the room this morning. Just ask that it is already true, but we're afraid it's not. And so we just ask for each person here that perhaps doesn't know Thee, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. Just ask that they would come to Thee today. And two, we just ask for our hearts to be opened up to enjoy the beauty of Thy person. Just ask this, Lord Jesus, in Thy precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Who learned a verse for this week that you would like to say? We don't have time, I don't think, for everybody to say it, but who has one that you would like to say? You learn maybe the verse from the Sunday school paper, or maybe where you go, you learn other verses too. Would you like to say it for everybody? Okay.
Learn the one from the Sunday school paper?
No, I learned a different one.
Okay, you say the different one. I won't maybe be able to help you though.
Jesus
I'm not sure which one it is. Can I come back to you in a little bit? You think about it for a moment, maybe you can ask somebody to help you. Since I'm not sure how to help you on that one so far. Anybody else? I learned a Sunday school verse for today that would like to say it. Okay, good.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Who else? Okay.
You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else would like to say it for everybody? Okay, one or two more.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8.
Good. Thank you. Okay, we'll make you the last one for now.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor.
She finished that off nicely. And I'll come back to you in just a little bit, maybe toward the end there. I'll try to make sure that I get to you. First thing I want to talk about, I'd like to talk about the Lord Jesus this morning, and I'd like to talk about how he was rich and he became poor. But before we do that, I want to tell you a story, because I think that the theme is pretty important to think about right here at the beginning. Mr. Hyland last night, he talked about... He talked about lots of things last night, but he talked about two things that I want to remind you of at the moment. One was about Pharaoh, a way that Satan is like Pharaoh. And then the other one was how he was like Pharaoh's daughter. Do you remember that? Now, just one little part of that. How is Satan like Pharaoh's daughter? That goes with the story I'm going to tell you in a moment. How is Satan like Pharaoh's daughter? Okay, good. You help us out.
Satan, through Pharaoh's daughter, is the pleasures of the world.
Okay, good. It's a side that looks pretty good on the outside. I want to tell you a little bit about that side. There were two ladies from Southern California, and they went down into Mexico. I don't know why they went there, but they went down to Mexico maybe to visit, maybe to have a nice little vacation, maybe to do some shopping. And they were on their way back, and it was night. They're driving along in the dark. And off in the side of the road, I suppose it was the passenger, she noticed something moving around that looked like a little chihuahua. You know what a chihuahua is? How many of you have a pet at home? Okay, lots of you have a pet at home. You have a chihuahua? Okay, how big is your chihuahua? Can you show me with your hands about how big? Great big dog or a little dog? A little dog. Here's a little dog. I think this was a pretty small dog, too. And the ladies stopped, and they got out and went over in the dark. And sure enough, there was a little chihuahua, and it looked like it was sick. So they thought, okay, we're going to help. We'd like to help that sick little chihuahua. And so they went, and they picked it up, and they got it back in their car, and they started to drive toward the border. Have any of you crossed the border to a different country? Oh, not too many. Okay, we'll have to tell you a little bit about what it's like. Some of you have. Maybe close to half of you. When you come to the border... Can you just drive across? When you came from Missouri or from Indiana or from Illinois or from somewhere else and you crossed into Kentucky, did you have to stop and show them a passport? No. No, you didn't have to do that. But when you cross from Mexico into the United States, you have to stop and a person there interviews you and they ask what you're bringing and they ask to see your identification. And sometimes they take you into a little room off to the side and they'll ask you lots of other little questions and they'd like to know about what you're bringing and why you're coming. And they thought, oh no, I don't know whether they'll let me bring this little chihuahua across the border. But boy, we'd sure like to help that chihuahua. So what do you think they did? Do you think they drove up and put it on their lap and held it off and said, sir, can we bring this little dog in with us? Is that what they did? How many think that's what they did? Would that be a good thing to do? That would be an honest thing to do, wouldn't it? But that's not what they did. They thought, you know, we're going to do, it's a pretty good thing we're going to do. We like that little chihuahua. We'd like to help it. And we're going to bring it in with us. So maybe we'll just... hide. And maybe we won't tell them anything. Is that good? I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but I think every single person in this room has had something. You start to think about it, and you think about it inside, and oh, I don't think that's right. But boy, I think it's a good thing to do. I'm going to do it anyway. What does the Bible call that? What does the Bible call that kind of thing? What's the Bible call it? Sin, that's right. The Bible calls it sin. Well, these ladies, they got across the border, how nice, and they got home, and they waited, I think, a day or two. I read the story on Thursday, and I was putting something away, and I saw something, I just had to pick it up and read it. And I picked it up and read it, and right where I opened it had this story. And
I don't think it said, but it was about a day or two, and that chihuahua wasn't getting any better. So they thought, oh, well, take it to the, where do you take a sick animal?
To the vet.
Well, take it to the vet. That's what they did. We'll take it to the vet. So they went into the vet. They brought in their little sick chihuahua. They gave it to the vet, and the vet examined it. And you know what he said? He told them two things. Any guess what he told them? Maybe it's not going to get better. Maybe I can help it out. Two things.
From examining it, I think he knows that it was from a wild animal.
Okay, examining it, he noticed it was a wild animal. You're right. He noticed that it was a Mexican water rat. And the second thing he noticed was that it had rabies.
Oh.
You know what rabies is? You know what rabies is? That's a pretty serious disease. You can get rabies. A person can die from rabies. It can be very painful. Or the treatment for rabies can be very painful. And I want to tell you something this morning right before we go on to the beautiful part of what we have to share. There's some wonder. Oh, they look nice. They look cute and cuddly like a little chihuahua. And oh, we want them. But it's, God calls it, if it's not what he has for us, God calls it sin. And you know what sin does? It comes back. Yeah. What does sin do?
Can you tell us?
It takes you away from Jesus.
That's right. That's a very good answer. And it takes... If someone doesn't return to the Lord Jesus, it goes all the way to the end in hell. And it ends with its wages. Let's read the verse. We can all quote it, I think. But let's read the verse together in Romans 3. So I think it's an important place to start. Oh, we all know this verse. But sometimes we like to forget about it because what's right in front of us looks so appealing. But there's a warning. What looks so appealing has this end. Romans chapter 3 and verse, I'm sorry, you know what? I was going to read that verse in 23, but let's read another verse in Romans 6. Read that one instead. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. If some one of you children would like to read that for us, I would appreciate it. Okay?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
That's right. It's an important warning, isn't it? The wages of sin, that's the end. You know those ladies? I didn't. I was just skimming through the story, and oh, I better get back to work. And I didn't pause. I wasn't thinking about the story any more than that. Well, that was interesting. And I don't know whether they got scratched or bitten. I don't know whether they got rabies or not. But I know that every single person in this room has earned what? Every single one of us has been bitten by sin. And every single one of us has sinned. And every single one of us has earned these wages. The wages of sin is death. I think that's pretty important and pretty solemn to start with. We're going to think about it. Let me illustrate something else, though, that relates to the verse. And it's the happy side of the gospel. That's the serious and important side. All of us have earned those wages of death. All of us deserve them. Now, there's a happy side. And I want to illustrate it this way first so that you'll remember. I have, I think the package says 14 mini boxes. It says right here. And I'm going to, I kept them in the bag and didn't dump them out, so I didn't want to mix them in with other things so that I knew I would have 14 here. And I need maybe a volunteer to help me, an older volunteer. I'm going to pick somebody that's 20 or more for this part. I'm going to give them four boxes. There's 14 in the package. Thank you, Hans. I don't know if you were stretching. I thought you were volunteering. I honestly did. Unfortunately, you were in my line of sight. There's four boxes. Thank you very much. And would you give them away to anybody who wants them? This isn't a lesson on faith. But I'd like you to give them away to anybody that would like them. He's got four boxes. He gave away one. There's some eager hands over here. There's two. There's three. And there's 4. Okay, good. Thank you very much. That's all I needed from you. I appreciate it. He gave away 4 of those, didn't he? I have 10 left, and I'd like to give them away. Now, I would ask you don't eat them yet, and I'll make, don't feel left out. We'll make sure you get something here, but I'll give you one. Would you like one? Okay. Do you like one? Do you like one? That's 4 I gave out. Would you like one? That's 5. If you don't want, okay. No, thank you. Are you sure? You don't have to eat them now. Okay. You'll take them. That's 6. Anybody else? No? Yes? 7? 8? 9? Now, don't feel bad, guys. I'll make sure I get you. But I have one left. Boy, it looks good. Now, I asked you not to eat them, didn't I? I'm afraid you'll make a mess, but I'm going to test mine. They're just as good as I remember. They're nice and fresh. The package on the outside at least said that the only thing in these are raisins. Nothing but raisins. And they're good. But here's the point I'd like to make. Who gave away more? Hands? Or did I? Who gave more? Lots of people that can count real well. Remember, there's 14 in there. And I kept 10. And one of them was pretty good. I still have that one. And he gave away 4. Who gave away more? That's simple math, isn't it? You tell us.
You gave 1.
She says, I gave more. Because I gave 9, didn't I? And Hans only gave 4. Is that what the Bible says? Turn in your Bibles. Somebody explained this to me, and I thought it was a nice thought. Let's turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 12. Remember, we're thinking about the Lord Jesus. He was rich. For your sakes, he became poor. Turn your Bible to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Some of you have already flipped to those last verses because you know where we're headed. And I'll read the whole section so we can catch the context. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in, listen carefully, all that she had, even all her living. Do you count in math class in school? How many of you are in school that are sitting up front here? Okay. Just about all of you, maybe all. Okay, all of you. When you count in math, you counted correctly. So it was a good answer to say that I gave more. I gave 9 and Hans gave 4. But the way that God counts, he doesn't count down from what you start with, at least with this lady it explains it. He counts up from what you have left. How much does Hans have left?
None.
How much do I have left?
One.
Who gave more?
Hans.
He gave more, didn't he? Because he gave all that he had. And I kept, not very much, I gave away 9 out of 10, but I kept 1 for myself. I kept 1 for myself. I didn't give all that I had. But you know, the Lord Jesus gave all that he had. What was the verse again? That was on the Sunday school paper that some of you memorized. For ye know, how did it go?
For ye know the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians
8:9.
Okay, thank you. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes. Is he talking about us? That verse was written to the Corinthians, wasn't it? I think he's talking about us too. For your sakes, for my sake, he became poor. We only have 15 minutes to think about that. That's not very much time, is it? There's so much in the Bible. I just wrote down a few this morning. We'll only look at a couple of them because there's not much time left. But I want you to look at some of the things that the Lord Jesus, being rich, gave. Can you think of something? When he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. Can you tell me maybe one thing? Maybe it's not something I wrote down. But can you tell me, somebody that's seated here? All of you think about it, right? You start to make a big long list in your head, even if I'm not going to call on you. Because there are many, many, many things. He was rich. He became poor. But who can help me out? What's something that he gave? Okay, you help me. He gave his life. That's right. We're going to come to that in just a little bit. He gave his life. A tremendous thing that he gave for you and me. What's something else?
Love.
He gave his love. That's right. The Lord Jesus gave his love. And one more. Okay.
The Lord Jesus loved everyone.
That's very true. He loved everyone. And he gave his love to us. Let's look at just a couple things. First of all, in that verse, it is talking about giving money. Or in that section, it's talking about giving money. So let's look at part of that. How many of you got here walking from your home? Not from the hotel. From your home where you live. How many of you got here walking? Nobody got here walking. How many of you came in a car? Or a truck, or a van, or a minivan, or a nice comfortable something? Okay. Nobody, maybe a few of you flew, I don't know. But I saw all the hands up in front here, came in a car. Is that a comfortable way to travel? Some cars are fancy, some cars aren't. But I'm sure it was more comfortable than this. Let's look at a verse in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 6. Somebody read John chapter 4 verse 6 for us. Okay.
John chapter 4 verse 6.
Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being worried with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was on the sixth hour.
About the sixth hour, good. Could the Lord Jesus have gone? This is an easy question. We're going to start with an easy one. Could he have gone from one place to another in a car? Is that a silly question? Could he have gone from one place to another in a car? No, of course not. They didn't have cars. Does that mean he had to walk? Did everybody back then walk? Did everybody back then walk?
No.
No?
Maybe some people rode on a horse or a donkey.
Okay, some of them rode on a horse. Some of them rode on a donkey. We read about some of them, like in the book of Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch. What was he riding in? You remember? What was he riding in? Okay, you've got a chance to answer a lot, and I'll come to you some more, but let's see if some more people would like to answer that no to. No? Okay, then you tell us.
He flied?
No, he didn't. It's probably the way we would say it today. If you were walking along the way, and you were just walking along, and his chariot, he went in a chariot. If his chariot went rolling right past and maybe blew up some dust on the road, and today, the way we say it sometimes casually, we'd say, oh, he flew fast. Because that chariot probably went a lot faster and was a lot more comfortable than just walking along the road. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came along, it says, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And we find out later that he was thirsty. Let's look at something else. Let's look, if we have time for it, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. And someone read for us verses 23 and 24. I thank both of you. You've helped me a lot. I'd like to have some other people have a chance to help too. Okay, thank you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, and verses 23 and 24.
But he preserved their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Sue me penny and a marriage and supper hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's.
Yeah, okay. Now, just to make sure we understand those words real quickly, could I show you a penny? I could show you an American penny, not the kind of coin it's talking about in this verse, but it's worth more than an American penny. But I have an American penny here, and I could pull it out. Did I have to ask one of you to give me a penny? No, I have one in my pocket. Maybe what he had in his pocket was worth a little bit more. Maybe that image and superscription. Do you know what's on a $20 bill? Do you know whose face is on that? That's kind of like the superscription on a coin. Whose face is on that one? That's not really the important part. You tell me.
Jackson?
Yeah, I believe so. Look at that. You're right. See that picture right there? And it's got the name underneath. You're right. No, I'm not offering it, sorry. I just wanted to illustrate that when it talks about superscription, there was the face on it. Okay? That had the face on, so that's what he said. And he reached, did he reach into his own pocket? Did he reach into his own pocket of the tunic or the robe and pull out a penny to show them? Did you listen carefully when you read that? That was a hard word because it's spelled S-H-E-W. But that means show. Yeah?
No, he asked them to show.
He asked them to show. You know, when he needed an illustration, he didn't reach into his own pocket. He didn't reach into his own wallet and pull out a coin. He said, show me a penny. When he needed to spend the money, or when Peter thought he needed to spend it, where did he get a penny? Did he go to the bank? Go to where he had it stored. How did the Lord Jesus get a penny that time? Do you remember? How did he get a penny that time?
From out of a fish's mouth.
From out of a fish's mouth, right? The Lord Jesus didn't lack what he needed. He knew where to go and get it. And when it needed to be spent, that time he said, show me, when we read. This time when he needed to spend it, he got it for somewhere where he wasn't taking from any person, taking away to give for himself and for Peter. But he took it from a fish's mouth, part of his creation. He could get what he needed. But he didn't have it there in his pockets, did he? Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. But he gave more than that. And I'm going to jump forward because really there's two very, very important ones. There's so many. But there's two very, very important ones that are very, I think, instructive to us. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel. They'll both be there. In chapter 26. I walked over from the Super 8 this morning, and on my way, I crossed the John M. Carroll Purchase Parkway, and then I passed the 2006 National Championship sign for the high school where we are, and then I passed the 2006 State Championship sign, and on the bottom of that was the 2005 State Championship sign, and then I turned, and I came past the beautiful giant eagle with its wings spread and its talons coming down. And it says the eagle's nest next door, and then I walked in here. And when you walk in here, you'll see up, and there's valedictorian after valedictorian on the walls. And over here, there are distinguished students and more distinguished students. And over there, there's a poster for the state and national champions. You know, people like to receive, and it's very common to receive honor and respect. Did the Lord Jesus deserve honor and respect? He sure did. I want to tell you about a story that moved me. I'm going to tell it very briefly because there's two more important things. But very briefly, there was a lady named Sylvia, and she wanted to escape from Romania. And she wanted to get away from Romania because she was being persecuted for her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she crossed a river, an icy river, in the middle of the night in a bumpy little boat. And they got to the far side. And on the far side, they had to go through a minefield where there were tripwires all the way through. But they went through that minefield all the way to the other side. And they got to a farmhouse where they were safe. But they weren't safe. The people there told them, they were being honest, they were being kind. They said, oh, the Yugoslavian authorities where you now are in Yugoslavia. Yes, you're in Yugoslavia, maybe across the border, but they don't return people. You just go to the police and you tell them that who you are and you'll have to register with them. And so she went to the police, told them who they were, and they registered with them. And 21 days later, they were back in a Romanian prison because they didn't know. But important people, people like Christians that they wanted back to persecute, they paid a boxcar load of grain for each of them to get him back. Other people, they didn't care. That was too expensive. They let him go. So they paid a boxcar worth of grain to get her and the seven companions back. And they went back into a prison yard. And this is what struck me. In that prison yard, there were soldiers. And it was actually not a prison yard. It was a soldier's barracks right there near the border. And they went into the soldier's barracks. And they lined the eight of them up against the wall. And then they took the four men. And the three of them were young and one was old. And each of those young men, they had a group of maybe 10 or 12 soldiers stand around. And they used that person like you've seen people standing around with a hacky sack. Or maybe they don't call that anymore. A little maybe with a soccer ball. Or maybe when they're bumping a volleyball back and forth. You've seen that? People stand around and maybe they throw a football back and forth. They stood around in a circle. And they had one of those young men in front. And they would kick them from one person across the circle to another. And then they kicked them back across the circle. And if they fell down, they all descended on them. And they kicked them and beat them till they stood up. And the others were forced to watch. And when they came to the old man, they didn't do that to the old man. They came to the old man. And they made him stand out in front of everyone else. And they took his face and they slapped it back and forth and back and forth. And made everybody else watch. Now let's read these verses together in Matthew 27. Matthew 26 first. This is the Lord Jesus. Verse 67 of Matthew 26. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted. That's like punch. The margin in my other Bible says smite with the fist. That means punch. Punch in the face. Then they buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. You know that old man? They hit his face back and forth. Those young men, they kicked around and beat up the Lord Jesus. They did both. Palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Made fun of him, didn't they? In the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 27, I wanted to illustrate this because I think you're just going to have to imagine it in your mind because there's something more important yet. But the Lord Jesus, it says in the margin of my other Bible too, it says that there was gathered there, it says the whole band, and that's the important part, the part the Bible gives to us. The whole group of soldiers in the next chapter, they circled around the Lord Jesus. They all wanted to be in on the mockery and the treatment of him. But the margin says that there was a maniple, which is the third part of a cohort, and that's about 500 men. What's the third part of 500? A little bit of math for you. What's the third part of 500? It could vary a little bit over time, maybe vary from 300 to 500. So let's say it was on the bottom end. What's the third part of 300? That's easier math. What's the third part of 300? The important part is that it was the whole group of them, the whole band. But what's the third part of 300?
100.
100. I wanted to have 100, and I don't know if we have 100 men here. I'm sure we don't have 100 men of military age, soldiers like these were. But I thought maybe we could get 100 males to stand around one person. You know, at the beginning of the other chapter, it says they bound the Lord Jesus. And obviously on the cross, his hands weren't bound. But it doesn't say when they untied them. So we don't know. I don't know whether the Lord Jesus' hands, perhaps it says in another gospel, and I didn't look. I don't know whether his hands were tied. but 100 soldiers, rough soldiers, surrounded him. Had he given all at that point? Do you know if he'd given everything yet? Remember, I gave away 10 of these raisins, but I kept one for myself. Did the Lord Jesus have anything left to give? He became poor. He was rich. He became poor for your sakes and mine. Did he have any more to give? Do you know? This is the most important part. And I've left it so that we're out of time. I'm sorry. But, you know, in this bag, there's one more. There's one more. He had a little more left to give. That's a bigger box, isn't it? It's just meant to illustrate. These are golden raisins, and it's a big box. You know, the Lord Jesus kept the best for last, and he gave it away. He gave it to an enemy, and I thought about this last night, and I don't have an enemy to give it to. So I can't even illustrate that much. So I'm going to give it to somebody whose name I don't know. Sorry, I'm not trying to signal you out because I don't know your name. I'll try to find somebody whose face at least I don't recognize. There aren't very many. I don't know. Maybe I won't embarrass anybody by giving it to them. Maybe we can give it to somebody in the kitchen later on, and you'll see them with the box. He gave it for his enemies. Let's read it. Chapter 27. I think you know what these verses refer to, so we'll read them and stop. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our Lord Jesus, we just want to give thanks this morning for giving all. Thanks in thy name. Amen.